Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parents in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice, and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parenting Hell with...
Oliver, can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
Can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Josh Widdicombe.
Well, I'd argue that the dad said my surname wrong there. I think he's got that wrong, Rob.
Yeah, I do too.
Kid didn't stand a chance.
What's that loser called?
Hello, Jamie here from across the pond in Grand Prairie, Canada.
Well, he's fucking Canadian, mate. He's all over the gaff, poor
not
fella.
His fault.
It's not his fault. He's fucking choking on maple syrup.
This is Oliver, who's 4 years old. Love you guys for keeping us sane with no family here. Keep it close. Oh, he's English. Emma and Jamie. There we go. Also British.
Oh, do you know what I hate more than anything is when you go, you know, someone's moved from the UK and they speak fully American or like Canadian or wherever they've gone and they don't realise they do.
Yeah.
Like, come on, I've kept my accent already. You can tell I'm from Liverpool.
You've got much more of an array of accents than you use normally in your life.
Like, yeah.
I wouldn't have you down as an accent guy, but actually you've got them in your locker, Rob.
That's
got
not
them in
a
your
good
locker.
American accent. That was a crap one on purpose. I'm quite good at like, oh my God, like totally we're going to the beach later and Casey's going to be there and apparently he is coming in his new car.
I don't know whether you get a role doing that
as a sexy teenage girl in an America, that sort of
oh was that course. A girl
that was
yeah
well,
you're not that's think, not a that is
no but it's
that
quite camp.
That's not a sexy teenage girl
no
voice.
Not teen, like you know but teenagers in
not
like
that that's
young,
what
like
I'm
20
into.
Year
just
old
let's move on there. I made that on there.
But you know like those sort of oh God what am I saying I think Casey made me think about Baywatch because that was her name in it.
How are you, Rob?
I'm struggling this morning. It's too cold. It's minus one, and I had to defrost a car. What is going on?
Yeah, defrosting a car. How do you do it, Rob?
Well, actually, so my new one's actually quite good. The electric car is quite good at it. I don't know why. It's only little, but one on the bigger car, because we've got a family one for like long journeys kind of thing, and when we go away, that one I half boil a kettle and pour it on.
I love boiling the kettle. I love
but
the
not
feeling.
Full boil.
Do you not do full boil?
No, not full boil, in case I worry the screen's going to crack.
Yeah, I always worry that's going to happen. But then I think it's never happened to anyone else, so why should it happen to me?
Yeah, that would definitely be on the news or like on YouTube.
Yeah, it'd be a thing you'd know.
That would be on TikTok, Instagram. Oh, blimey. Yeah. All the old screen crackers are in
there. We're going to get so many emails from people who go, actually, your fully boiled kettle can crack a windscreen. It happened to my aunt.
Yeah, and do you know what I say to those people? Fuck off. We're just having a bit of a laugh.
Yeah, those hypothetical people, those hypothetical people that we've never met.
Yeah.
Absolutely do one.
Just go away. Just shut up. Who cares?
Leave us alone. Leave us alone.
Stop listening. Just let us talk to each other with no one else and fucking nosing in. I tried to Google cracked screen from Paquettle and I just wrote fuck off into Google. Because I was saying fuck off. Not really fuck off, actually. We do need you. Please listen. Yeah. If you don't listen, we're completely screwed.
But we do. But we know we're factually incorrect all the time.
We're always factually incorrect. Bad idea boiling a kettle. Can boiling water crack windscreen? Putting boiling water in a frozen windshield will not cause the windscreen to shatter.
Yes, here we go.
Vehicle windshield.
Shove your emails up your fucking arse. That's what I say.
Yeah, fucking. I tell you what, print the email off, fold it up, stick it in your bum. That's what you should do. Look, and then scan your arsehole and then send it in as a PDF, you fucking losers. Vehicle windshields are constructed using laminated safety glass, which is a piece of polyvinyl Boutrel.
Right, now this is boring podcasting.
Between two, it's absolutely fine, mate, so fuck off. But I still wouldn't fully boil it, Josh, I'm not confident enough.
I love it, it just works so well.
It's the best, isn't it?
It's
absolutely
incredible.
The best.
It's one of those jobs that make you feel like a grown-up man.
Yeah.
Like a dad. It's like, I'm a dad. I'm a bloody dad here. And I'm boiling a kettle to put on the windscreen. And then I've run out of water, so I'm doing the side windows with my bloody Oyster card. Let's have it.
Have you still got an Oyster card?
No. I've got... what have I got? I've barely got cards now, Rob, because I've got Apple Pay.
Yeah.
And I've got a loyalty card to the toy shop around the corner. That's literally it.
And you're just scraping the... You're just using your phone now to scrape it.
Hey, that's the problem, yeah.
Yeah.
Apple haven't dealt with that, really, have they?
You know, that's the thing. You know, you get rid of certain technology and you lose a bit. You lose a bit. But yeah, anyway, no, I'm all good. I'm a bit annoyed it was cold. I did an interview on BBC Radio London at 8:30 a.m. that I forgot about until 8:25 a.m. For the Wembley shows.
Oh, good on you, Rob. Thank you.
Yes. No, because we do it. Well, the tour, Parent in Hell Live, the tour is hitting arenas soon. Wembley Arena and Nottingham Arena, there are tickets left. Everywhere else is near enough sold out.
Yeah,
thank
there's
you very
a few
much.
In Manchester, I've heard.
Oh, is there?
Get in fast on Manchester.
That'll be the first one as well. That'll be when first 30 seconds of that of me and Josh are shitting ourselves.
Oh, my God. That's the one to go to, isn't it? No, all of them are. Actually, I'd say Nottingham are the ones I'd want to get tickets for, but that's just me. Nottingham and Wembley are the ones I'd get tickets for.
Yeah, absolutely.
The O2, I wouldn't bother.
Yeah. I just slagged off you, Les, on Radio London, and the presenter was losing her mind because she knows she's just going to get texts about you, Les, all day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
And she went, the mayor will message you. And I was like, bring it.
Sadiq Khan?
Sadiq Khan, yeah, because I was slagging it off.
Because he's listening.
Oh, it's his little pet project, isn't it? Like, oh, you...
Does he want... Do you know what's not in the ULED zone, Sadiq? Wembley Arena. If you fancy it, there's still a few tickets available,
mate.
It is
now.
Oh, is it? Well, go to Nottingham then, Sadiq.
Well, they're spreading it out. It'll probably be in Nottingham soon. And then I was like...
Rob, let's not get into this.
Sorry, let's not get into this.
I feel like I'm in a cab.
Okay, all right. Okay, let's not... How are you? What have you been up to? What's going on? How's your family? How are your kids? How's life?
My daughter is currently... I'm parenting as we speak, Rob. She's off ill.
Oh,
Rose is busy this morning.
Yeah.
So, any time. My daughter is currently on our bed.
iPad?
With Peppa Pig on an iPad.
Yes, okay, classic.
She wanted to read a book about space and have the iPad. And I'll be honest, the book about space, it got thrust aside within 30 seconds of her sitting down in favour of Peppa Pig on the iPad.
It's going to be Peppa Pig all day. Let her crack on with it, mate.
Yeah, exactly. So she could come in at any moment.
I keep getting ill. Everyone's ill.
She's not that ill.
Is she lying?
No, she's not lying, I don't think. She isn't herself. But do you know what I don't think's helped?
What's that?
I'm going to throw this out there.
I've not been myself for 7 years, Josh.
No? Is this not you?
I think it is, actually. I think I actually am myself.
Yeah, I think you are.
I just sort of did that as a joke. That would be the kind of thing I'd say on a panel show, that'd get in the edit, and I wouldn't mean... And they'd be like, that's a bit weird, isn't it? I'm like, it's too late now. Just had to say something. had to say something, mate. I was on the telly.
She's been watching a very good show that I watched yesterday called Get Well Soon, which is hosted by Dr. Range.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's about like illness and injury and stuff. Oh, I think it's got into her head. I think she's thinking too much about illness, and so she's ill now. She's ill now, or she thinks she's ill now. Do you know what I mean?
Oh no! Yeah. Is it Munchausen syndrome? I'm in a horrible mood. I didn't work that much last week, and I've got a few days off this week. I like winding people up. I'm very annoying.
You need to perform, don't you, Rob?
Yeah, I need to get. I've got an energy in me that has to get out. I have to purge, and I used to have to scream into a pillow. But yeah, I do need
Are we going to dig into that a bit more?
What, the old pillow scream?
Yeah, or are we just going to float past so you just have to scream into a pillow?
Did you ever used to scream into a pillow as a kid?
No.
I didn't.
No.
No. At least I didn't choose violence.
I wouldn't describe that as one of your eternal observations, Rob.
Yeah, so it would be get too much, and I'd just scream until I was exhausted, then I'd pass out.
Right.
Is that okay?
Well,
not pass out, but be so tired I'd just sleep for a bit.
And what's everyone else doing while you're screaming into a pillow?
Well, I'm in the garden and they're indoors. They don't know I'm doing it. Yes, I go in the garden and scream into. I take a pillow with me, or like in the garden or somewhere where they weren't near, because it was a small house, so everyone knew what we should be doing. So I'd sort of find a corner, go in the toilet or something with a pillow, scream into it as loud as possible, and then sort of just try and reassimilate with the rest of the family.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. So have you spoken to someone about screaming into a pillow?
Not really, which is worrying considering I do speak to a therapist and that's not come up yet because there's been other more pressing matters.
Yeah.
In the two, 3 years I've spoken to someone,
it's on the list.
It's on the list. Oh, it's on the list, mate. Don't you worry about that. That's a long old list. Don't you worry about that. But no, I don't really speak to anyone. I speak to someone now very occasionally, like once every few months, if something crops up, as opposed to when I first started speaking to someone, I spoke to them every week. For a couple of months, and then it sort of went to every few weeks. It's sort of just everyone's different, really, basically.
Yeah, totally.
The key is though resting and not working yourself too hard, and then everything else is easier. You can still be a workaholic.
If you've got a life where you can afford to rest, it is.
Yes. Exactly. So I was in a lucky, privileged position to be able to afford the therapy and rest. But they do stuff on the NHS as well. I went to the NHS before, about 10 years ago, and did some counselling on the NHS all through my GP. So anyone else scream into a pillow, let me know.
What have you screamed into? Email in. What have you screamed into? Have you screamed into the fridge? Have you screamed into the night sky?
A little tip, never scream into a memory foam because you don't want to be reminded of why you were screaming.
Really nice bit of business.
Nice stuff, isn't it?
Really nice. Really nice. How's your parenting been?
How's parenting? Been good, actually, because I've been at home a lot more last week because it was a bit crazy with travelling the few weeks. But I think this is a problem I have. When I'm working too much, I struggle to get back into normal socialising.
Yes.
You know, that small... We don't do small talk in our job, really. It's very much, like, to the point with stand-up and stuff like that. There's not that... You don't have colleagues, really.
Yes.
That you have to sort of just exist with and talk to them about other things other than work. So, like, for example, like, I was at the school pickup and the kids come out and I was with a couple of other parents and they was like, oh, what did you do today? And I went, oh, we did funky fingers. And, I went, what's that? You stick your finger up the bum and smell it.
To the kids?
To everyone involved in the playground.
Right. How did that go down, Rob? You need to scream into a pillow, Rob, if that's what you...
I know.
Before the school run, just a quick scream into a pillow just to get it out.
I know. Did you put your finger up your bum and smell it?
And what happened?
As I said that, I was like, why have you said that?
Oh, my God.
That is awful. Oh, my God. Because it was like kids... And then luckily, my daughter went, no, funky fingers is when you do it and it's like... I think they use paint or they've got finger puppets.
I think that's probably more likely. As things go, I'd say it's almost worse that your daughter, in front of the other kids and parents, just kind of rolled with the punch of you saying that, as if that's a normal thing for you to say. Like, she acted that would be my dad's response. Whereas everyone else is going, what the fuck just happened there? Your daughter's like, no, it's not that. Obviously, I understand why you've said that.
But I think I'm gonna be the weird dad at school, essentially. I'm the weird one. Well, I am the oddball. Like, you know, some of the clothes, they all wear like sort of work clothes. I go in like, sometimes I look like I've been tarmacking because I just wear like comfy tracksuits and stuff. And I think through talking to someone, I used to be so concerned about what everyone thought about me, every single social interaction. And I would doom spiral that if I was horrible to someone or did something wrong, everything would fall apart. I'd catastrophize. And then everyone would tell everyone, no one would ever come and see me do stand up again. And then I'd basically be living on the streets and Lou and the girls never spoke to me. That's how my brain would. That's what my brain would eventually get to.
Good for the show, though, wouldn't it? Though?
Oh, great for the show!
It'd be good for the show.
So I am. I think slightly annoyingly, I annoy Lou a little bit. Where if she wants to vent about something, I'll look at it from a Zen approach. But it's not actually fun being Zen. It is quite fun gossiping about people and slagging people up. That is fun, isn't it? But it's not.
It's fun being Zen. It's not fun hanging out with someone who's Zen.
100%. That is so insightful, Josh. That is so true. It's fun being Zen. It's awful being near someone that's Zen. That is so true. And we were talking about something, and Lou was moaning about something, and I was like, "Well, you know, it is what it is." All these like wanky sayings that helped me. And she went, "You know what? You've spoken to your therapist too much. Fuck off to your office."
Yeah, you want to hang around with someone who's troubled. That's ideal.
Oh, they're the best ones.
They're the best people to hang around with.
Especially if you're Zen, because then you don't take their problems on. It's the ultimate win-win. You just go there on their life journey, and then you just sort of wander off not thinking about anything.
Well,
it's great.
I'd be interested in your take on this. So I'd say I'm coming towards it. I'm certainly more Zen than I was on the podcast last year. I'm sure we could all agree on that.
Yeah, but what I like about you is, Josh, you are very... I think you've done very well to be calm. However, if a certain subject comes up, you can still, in your locker, which makes you great company, can go immediately red, start sweating and clapping your hands together because you're worried.
Well, let's talk about that subject.
Okay, yeah, that's quite key, I think.
My 40th is approaching and I can't engage with it, Rob. Before everyone thinks I'm...
You're struggling with turning 40.
I'm not struggling with turning 40. That's the weird... No.
Okay, but that's exactly the kind of thing someone would say.
No, but of course, I'd engage... I'm willing to engage with what I'm struggling with here.
Okay, good. Sorry, go on. I'll listen.
I don't like the centre of attention party situation.
Cool.
Particularly...
Just double check. Which arena are we doing first? Manchester Arena or... you don't like being a big party atmosphere, centre of attention, everyone look at me, come and see me do my big show kind of stuff.
No, I'm looking forward to Nottingham mainly. I tell you what it is also, I'm really trying to not drink at the moment. And every time I drink, I don't enjoy it. And I'm like, okay. I'm not enjoying it. I need to stop drinking for a period.
Yes.
Of now till death.
And yeah, I don't think it's good for you, is it? You sort of go hard or not at all.
No, exactly. And the 40th is like putting yourself intentionally in the position where you have to drink and you've organised it yourself. So there's things like, I'm like, oh God, the O2 is going to be tough to not have a drink after. But I'm doing the... That is what it is. But to organise your own party and then not drink it, it's a fucking nightmare.
Well, yeah, but our people do it, don't they? You don't have to drink.
I know, but I can do with it being about 6 months further down the line.
Can I tell you something, Josh?
Yeah.
Because basically your birthday is just before we go on the arena tour. So you don't want to get absolutely... You want to have a big party after the tour, really. You don't want to be doing...
I don't want to have a big party.
Okay. Well, do you know what? I think you, I, and most people have groups of friends that on a night out, even though they're your friends, if we're all honest... You can only suffer if you've got 4 pints in you.
Right, okay, yeah.
Look,
we can't bring Will Briggs up again on the podcast. People don't even know who he is.
He's actually right sober every bloody week. He's all right.
He's a good sober.
But I think if you were brutal and you wrote a list, right? Say, write a list of everyone that you wanted to come to your...
Yeah, but what if they're listening, Rob?
No.
And then they see that they're on the shit list.
They've not made
the list because they're only fun when I'm drunk.
Don't publish the list.
No,
okay.
by them not now being invited. So, can I just say, if you think you're going to be invited to my 40th and you don't get invited to my 40th, there wasn't a 40th.
It isn't that I've cut you from the list because... Here we go. Look, I've got it. Here we go. You write the list, okay? Everyone that you would invite to your 40th that you think this would be the kind of person we'd invite. Write the list. Tick the ones that you could handle sober.
Yeah.
For a whole night or maybe a weekend. All right, tick them, right?
Bad news for Rose, but at least we won't have to get a babysitter.
People that you think, actually, do you know what? It's just because I've known them for years. I don't really enjoy their company anymore. They've changed. They married someone I don't really like. Little cross, right? However, hear me out. Invite them all to the 40th.
Yeah.
And for you, it's a 40th, but also in its way of saying goodbye to some people.
Oh, my God.
And then moving forward...
It's a wake.
You just phase out those little people with the crosses.
Yeah.
You like it, don't you?
I don't want to phase anyone.
You like it. I've tempted you. What a life you could lead.
I've basically phased people out anyway, Rob, by having children. That's how I've phased them out.
No, but I'm just saying what a world we'd live in, because you'd get to that 40th and you go, why is he here? He's actually quite annoying, or she's a bit of a pain in the ass. But if you're at the party, you know in your head, there's a little cross on them. This will be the last time I do this.
Oh,
and the
God.
Second part of my life is going to be so much nicer and simple.
Is it? Is it indeed?
Have I turned callous? I feel like I'm the baddie in a superhero film.
I think we know what you're doing for your 40th, and it's going to be like the fucking Hunger Games.
I am fucking off on holiday and not wasting my money on other people.
Well, exactly. I'm going to end up putting money behind a bar that I can't use myself because I'm not drinking.
And then your old, you'll be trying to get your money's worth out of it. That old adage. Well, yeah. I've paid for the bar. Might as well get the quadruple vodka, please.
Exactly, Rob. I don't know what to do. I'm panicking about my 40th. There's other things related to my 40th, Rob.
What's that?
I'm going to start dressing more smartly.
You are really struggling with turning 40.
Maybe I don't realise I am.
You are. But that's okay.
Because I think part of the drunk thing is I don't think it's becoming of someone who's hitting 40. Do you know what I mean? To be drunk.
I think you're too uptight about what people think. You're worried about how your behaviour is seen. You're worried about what clothes you wear is seen. What are you going to wear then? I think you're fairly smart. What are you going to wear?
I'm thinking of bringing in blazers. What was that noise?
That was me taking a drink and laughing. Okay, talk me through the blazer.
A nice deconstructed blazer with a shirt, chinos, shoes.
Yep, chinos. Jeans gone, trainers gone.
I don't like the blazer and jeans look. I just don't like it. This is not forever. This is, say, we're just going to the theatre. I'm going out for dinner. Oh, I dress up for my 40th, Rob.
Right, okay. You are going to... I can't wait. You're going to look mental.
I'm not going to look mental. I'm going to look... What do you mean I'm going to look mental?
What shoes are you wearing?
I'm going to... Do you know what I'll do, Rob?
Yeah.
I'm going to trial it on the last leg this week.
Yes, I want to see the new smart Josh. And then you can talk about it going, I'm turning 40, I'm feeling about going smart. What do the viewers think? Is it okay?
Yeah.
Is it okay to wear Converse over 40?
I heard, is it okay to wear trainers over 40, Rob?
Look, I think Jonathan Ross looks really cool. He's in his 60s and he dresses in whatever he wants.
Yes, but he's Jonathan Ross, so he buys it because he's such a big personality.
You're a big guy. You're a big personality, mate. You're a star. You're a star of stage and screen. You're an arena-filling comic, mate.
I am not in the East Midlands, I'm not, but in other areas.
Forget about Nottingham.
Yeah, forget about
But it's like the M25. You're a double arena-filling comic, mate.
Exactly, mate. The North West or Wales, I'm an arena-filling comic.
Yeah, 10 miles from East Midlands Parkway Airport. No.
No. But yes.
What shoes are you wearing?
I'd say probably, maybe a pair of just a nice pair of suede smart shoes.
I can't.
What was that noise again?
I just see you in the shop getting your little shoes with Rose there going, yeah, that's good, Josh. Yeah. That was nice. When you go to the theatre, you little fucking dweeb.
What is going on? Who am I? I don't know. That's the problem. On my birthday. I'm not having a transformation. Like, I don't know.
A sacrificial Converse burning the day before.
Because obviously I need trainers to go to the shops or do the run.
You're not going to wear smart all day?
No, I'm not. I'm not Bill Nighy. Like,
no, I'm not. I know what you mean. I need to sort out what I'm doing.
I want to have different options so that I'm like, tonight I'm going to go smart because I'm going out for dinner.
That's nice.
Yeah. And then tomorrow, maybe I'm going to see a band. I'm not going to wear shoes to see a band, Rob.
So you're going to see Blur at Wembley. What you got on? You got your Hush Puppy suedes on.
No, I'm not. The word Hush Puppy has come from... No, of course not. Although I could wear a blazer.
So what are you going to wear to Blur?
I'll probably wear... I don't know what I'm going to wear to Blur. Probably a T-shirt, jacket, jeans and trainers.
Yeah, but you're changing now. You'll be 40 dressed like that.
Yeah, but it's the context, isn't it?
So you'll be dressed the same as a 20-year-old there?
No, I won't be dressed the same as a 20-year-old.
Well, that's what they'll wear.
There won't be a 20-year-old in that fucking stadium, Rob.
Well, no, but...
I'll be one of the youngest people there.
A lot of 20-year-olds love Steve Davis DJing.
I can't wait.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing your outfit.
On last leg this week, I'm going to dress up smart.
Oh, good. I can't wait. But it doesn't matter. If, maybe some tips for anyone else that was struggling with turning 40.
I'm not struggling with turning 40.
I feel like you are, and that's okay.
I don't know.
It's a big jump. Do you know what I mean? Because you know.
You don't need to. I don't think it's a big jump. If anything, it's just water for ducks back for me.
I think it is really. Because this is when you're 30, when you turn 30, you're sort of in the midst of still bumping on with your career, doing this, doing that. Am I going to have kids? Or have I got kids? Or blah, blah, blah. But now this is it. This is your lot.
Yeah, I'm on
the scrap heap. You've got your job. No, you're not on the scrap heap, but you've got your job. You've got your kids, you've got your wife, you've got your house.
Yeah.
So, like, what happens now? Do you grind out till you die?
Oh, my God, is that Talking Heads song?
What you know, what is it your, what is Josh Widdicombe going to become with the second half of his life? Is it this till death? Are you going to push the envelope?
I'd take another 40 years now. Exactly. I was thinking that this morning.
So, yeah.
I was thinking I might do...
What is the second part of your life?
I know our agent listens to this. I was thinking maybe in 5 years I'll just have a complete career change. And then I thought, no, I won't.
Well, no, but why not?
Because I'm good at this and I've got far with it, Rob.
Yeah, but just because you got far doesn't mean you shouldn't change and start again if that's what your heart desires.
I can't be bothered. It's the same reason I don't gig abroad. I don't want to have to start again.
You don't have to prove yourself.
I don't have to prove myself again. I'm done proving myself. I've proved myself. Now I want to coast.
Well, I tell you where you need to prove yourself, Nottingham. Get up there and show those guys what you can do. Get a ticket bought. Anyway, no, all right. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing your new outfit on the last leg.
Oh, God. Pressure's on now.
Do you want some more stuff from my parenting week?
Yeah.
It's been quite busy, actually.
Go on.
So, this is not parenting, but fairly interesting. I've either got early hay fever or I'm allergic to my dog.
Oh, here we go. Okay. Rob's starting the move to get rid of the dog.
No.
We've all been anticipating it. What tactics are you going to go for? He's allergic.
It's the only things I can think of because I've been away a lot and then I've been at home a lot. So the dog's been around me, on me, you know, as dogs are. So I said to Lou, I went, Lou, I've either got hay fever in February or I'm allergic to the dog. And she just went, you're not allergic to the dog. So basically, I've either got hay fever or I'm going to have red eyes and a runny nose for the next 12 years till it dies.
Right. Well, I've got good news for you.
Fred dies.
Oh, my God.
Did.
12 as well. He can easily live a lot more than that, Rob.
No, about 14 they die, don't they, dogs?
Well, you could make 20. Dogs are getting, you know, modern age, dogs are living longer. I bet you're feeding it good food as well.
Oh, he's got a lovely life. Lovely life.
Exactly. He's going to live a long life.
This dog's treated like that. He gets better food than me, this dog.
Look at the royal family, Rob. Think how long they live compared to other people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that he will live long.
Yeah.
Do you know what annoys me? Is when people go, we don't deserve dogs. I'm like, pardon? You know, we're so they are the jammiest pet in the fucking world. Dogs don't deserve humans that are nice to them, do they?
But you still like him, don't you? Yeah.
I love him. I love the dog.
You do. And I'm looking forward to my
40th. Between 10 and 13 years. Only 11, actually.
Okay.
11 years of bloodshot eyes and runny nose for me.
No, so I one summer had hay fever.
Yeah.
And it was only for one summer. Sometimes, like...
Certain
pollen happens or something.
So for me, it's tree pollen. I get it early doors. It's the pollen off the trees, which is the first pollen, and then it moves to flower and grass and all that. But I'm all right with grass. It's just the tree.
Right.
The tree stuff.
Do you want to hear a good bit of good news about why it might not be the dog?
Okay, go on.
So when we got our cats... I was in Australia filming The Last Leg Down Under. Rose bought the cats. I got back. It'd been quite a stressful few weeks.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot. We travelled the full length of Australia while trying to make 3 hours of television. And it was
a long way. A lot of travelling in Australia.
Yeah, and we had to drive a van the whole way. So it was quite intense.
Who drove the van?
Well, we took it in turns. Also, on top of that, the vegetarian food was fucking non-existent in the north of Australia.
Yeah, they love a bit of meat.
Yeah. So, here we go. I got home and the cats were there and suddenly I just had a very tight chest.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I'm allergic to the cats. And I couldn't really breathe very well for about a week. And Rose was like, I don't know if you are allergic to cats. I'm like, I'm allergic to cats. I'm definitely allergic to cats. And then I went to the doctor and it was the first signs that I was suffering from bad anxiety. So.
Oh, really?
The good news is it might not be the dog, Rob. You might just be going through a mental breakdown.
No, because my chest isn't tight. I've just got bloodshot eyes.
Right. Well, you might just be...
So it looks like I'm crying.
Looking at your screen too much.
No, so this was funny. So we went in. They do a little thing where they, mid-year, you go in and... It's sort of like a parents' evening, but not the parents' evening.
Yeah, we've got parents' evening. Yeah, like a kind of mini budget.
Yeah, it's a mini budget where basically what they say is they go, one of the teachers, I think it might be the, I don't know, the head of the primary school, like who knows a lot, all the kids. They say, like, when she does a thing like on every Wednesdays, if you book in a slot, you can have a catch up about your child.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and like, you don't have to do it, but if you want to. So we thought, oh, we'll do it. So we went in and was in there, and she was saying really nice things about my eldest daughter. It was only about my eldest daughter. She wasn't saying like bad things about my other daughter.
Yeah, yeah,
it was just
yeah.
about the eldest.
She refused to offer any comments on the youngest one.
Yeah, yes, yeah, yes. You'll be hearing from us. Solicitors with regards to your no, it was just about my eldest.
Yeah,
but my hay fever was kicking right off and I was there and it was like it looked like I was crying and she went, "You don't get upset, it's all good." And I was like, "I'm not upset." It's even the dog got tree pollen because of the climate crisis. The pollen is falling earlier and hazel and
exactly.
ash trees dominate this area, okay.
And Rob,
don't look like I was crying.
Are you worried because yeah. you're moving to the country as well?
No, no. To be fair, not really. Because where we are now, there's loads of we live right near a big sort of country park already.
Is something about the countryside. When I moved to the city from the countryside at the age of 18, yeah. my asthma disappeared.
Really?
You wouldn't think that, yeah. You wouldn't think that, would
I
you?
I thought it'd be the other way.
Yeah, so would I.
I thought it was a black bogey thing as well. That's a thing, isn't it, for people moving up from Devon, getting black bogeys. Yeah, they moved to London and
oh,
get
what,
black bogeys.
Oh, because the nose isn't ready for it.
The nose isn't ready for it. It's all the boat, all yeah. the dust and
stuff. Old country nose.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so actually, I found it more difficult to breathe in the country than in the city.
Right, okay. I'll let you know if I struggle with my breath.
Yeah.
Because I'm 5 miles further away from where I already
well,
am.
Become
I'm
a country
going to the
squire.
Country. I'm going further out of London, but
I'm picturing, you know, if I'm going to have a rebrand of my clothes, I'm picturing you dressed like Nigel Farage well, yeah. when you move to the country.
Yeah, but so do you get the views first, then the outfit, or is it vice versa?
I think it's because you're doing so many walks, Rob. You go, well, I need yeah. some big walking wellies and boots, and then you go, well, I can't wear them with
yeah.
with tracksuit trousers, so I should get yeah. a tweed jacket.
Oh, like it's Clarkson's farm, like Clarkson.
Exactly, Beckett's farm.
Because it feels like if you wore a flat cap and a barber gilet,
yeah.
it'd be very hard not to be racist.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, come on, like it's basically got like, you are what you wear.
Yeah.
But, oh yeah, talking of moving though, we've moved because where we're moving to. We've left. It was a Virgin gym. It was members of Virgin gym. That's where the kids used to do their swimming lessons and stuff.
Yeah.
But there's a gym closer to the new place.
Yeah.
Right? And I didn't know these existed, right? We've joined a David Lloyd, but it's not a gym. It's
what
a leisure club.
Oh, here we go.
Right?
Here we go.
It's a leisure club. So
right.
I went in there and it's unbelievable, mate. There's a three... you walk in and then one side is all... but where the kids go, and the other side is like, kids can go as well, but it's more like for adults. So on the kids' side, there's a three-story soft play, Josh.
Bloody hell.
Right? Three-story soft play. And then you walk straight in from there to a family change with your own cabinet, like your own like the cubicles, and then get into the swimming pool.
Oh, my God. You're basically in a country club, Rob.
Yeah.
You're a country squire.
Well, as soon as you move out of London, everything's more spacious.
Yeah, of course it is, Rob.
It's
grew
amazing.
Up in Devon.
Yeah, but I didn't know this was a thing. There's, like, parking. There's, like...
Rob,
space.
I didn't know the word parking until I was 18 because it wasn't an issue.
You just stopped the car.
We just stopped the car and got out. Genuinely. I'm sure I've told you this before.
Yeah.
We didn't lock our house. We didn't have a key for our house.
Really?
We didn't lock it.
Oh,
We just go on holiday for 2 weeks.
No.
Yeah. And we wouldn't lock the front door.
And this would be like 90, yeah, in the early 90s.
In the mid-90s, yeah.
Mid-90s, and yeah.
Up to the late 90s. My parents now lock their house, if anyone knows where they live, just to be clear.
And they're just creeping around the Widdicombs.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what's good about it is, Josh,
yeah.
the family change, because at the last gym there wasn't one.
Yeah.
My children don't have to see Harry Cox when they go swimming anymore.
Oh, yeah, because you've got a perfectly hairless one.
No, because I'll keep mine under lock and key. But
right, okay.
They don't have to walk them through the fucking
yeah, that's good. That's
zoo.
Good. Yeah, that's
awful.
Good.
I didn't realise how good that was. Anyway, so it's really nice.
You're
lovely,
on your way to being a country squire. You're going to be like Alex James from Blur before
Josh,
we know it.
Right, so Josh, this is what I did, right? This is like the closest I've ever had to a routine. Lou
yeah.
took our daughters to a party, so I had like a couple of hours spare. So I went to the gym, parked
yeah.
up. There's a little area, because there's space, where they clean your car. Like, yeah, you pay, obviously, it's extra. But, like, you can get your car cleaned, right? And my car was really dirty. So I went there. He went, oh, how long are you going to be? I was like, a couple of hours. I went in there. I had a training session, which I'll talk about in a minute. Then there's a spa. I went in a spa, Josh.
Yeah.
And then after that, I had some lunch and they had the Premier League on in the bar area.
Bloody
hell. And you could get a pint of Moretti if you wanted.
You've got the Premier League and getting a pint of beer is not like, but this does sound like you're living in a different world,
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, but all in one place. And then, yeah, I finished, the car was clean, then I drove to Radio 2 and did my radio show. And I felt like the Jetsons. I was living in the future. I couldn't believe it.
So is this who you are now, Rob?
I think I'm going to be... I think it's who I am. It's the lifestyle I want. I think the lifestyle's found me and I found the lifestyle.
Oh, no, you're going to be playing doubles tennis, aren't you? Lou,
yes.
You and Lou are going to be playing doubles tennis against some other fucking...
It's like a country club. It's not like a gym. Because the gym's actually a small part of it. They've got badminton, there's tennis,
there's a pool.
I'll be
honest with you, Rob.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. The Moretti and the bar showing the Premier League... You're not going to be Gary Barlow by 40. You've basically traded in the gym for another pub.
Well, I saw someone having a Guinness. I thought, who's at the gym having a fucking Guinness? I mean, come on. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, come on, lads. Let's just keep our head in the game here, surely. But yeah, no, it was great. And then, because when I signed up, when you sign up, you get, like, you got a free, like, personal training induction to the gym session, right?
Yeah.
But you have to do it on the app.
This is how you pour the Guinness, that kind of thing.
No. So you have to do it on the app.
Yeah.
And I had to pick one. And
what do you mean?
It felt like, well, they said, pick your trainer and have a picture of them and a profile and like what they specialise in and then a bit about them. Like, you know, some was like, I play rugby or whatever I'm into. Yeah. I was a tennis coach and all that, whatever their sort of CV was.
This is a big question. Do you prefer a male or female personal trainer? I think that says a lot about the man or the woman.
Because,
I've had this discussion with Rose. What do you prefer, Rob?
So I
and what
prefer,
personality do you want?
Right, so I don't know really, okay? So I wasn't really sure, but I definitely... The way I broke it down was, I was like, I don't want anyone that was a high-level athlete.
Right.
Because in my experience, when I've done Rob and Romesh and you meet like Andy Murray and Andy Murray's tennis coach or the England football team... When they try and train you, they're so used to training high-level athletes.
It's why so few top football managers were great players. It's a classic.
Yes, exactly.
They because they can't understand why people are shit.
And your body's not up. They'll go like, right, so tense that muscle there. I'm like, that muscle has never been hard, ever.
Yeah. No.
I don't know what I need to do within my body to make that go hard. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, anyway, so because one was like, I was a national level sprinter. I was like, not for me.
Oh, yeah, right.
We're different species, mate. So I went for a guy that was like a bit more like sort of like well rounded, played a bit of football, but a bit more like me as opposed to someone that was like nearly in the Olympics.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So, but yeah, so so I did that. That went well, and then yeah, I had a healthy smoothie,
and I
walked out the gym, Josh, with my bag and. It was the first time I've not been rushed. Didn't have a Marie. And I walked out the gym with my gym bag, a green smoothie, and got in my clean car and drove to work. And I felt like I was Molly May.
Unbelievable. Who are you anymore?
Who am I now?
You've had your 40s transformation at 36.
No, yeah, my body's still a mess, but I've got 3 years now. But at 40, I might do a Heat magazine photo shoot.
Okay. That's the deal.
Yeah, that's the deal.
Does it still exist, Heat Magazine?
Oh, well, I think they might bring it back for this edition. Torso of the century. So that was good. So that was fun. So we're on the road.
I'm glad we're both not just thinking about turning 40. You're 3 years out and it's playing with your mind. And I'm only six months.
I just
Rob, you've used the words Gary Barlow and 40 82 times on this podcast.
Yeah, no, I'm not having an existential crisis about turning 40, but I do feel like if you're not in shape before 40, it becomes much harder to get into shape after 40.
That's what I'm on. I'm on the run in now, mate.
Yeah, I feel like if you're entering 40 a bit in shape, you can sort of claw it back as you go. But if you're 47 and you're trying, it's harder. I'm not saying you can't do it. If anyone's there, 47 doing couch to 5K, good luck to you. I'm sure you'll do it. But I'm trying to give myself a fighting chance.
Here we go.
That's why it's good to get your kids into sport early.
Yeah,
get your kids into sport early.
So that you can sit at the side and just watch them.
No, but because I've got mates who like do boxing and football, and because they played properly like into their 20s and 25, went to the gym and looked after themselves, now they basically sort of, if they let it go for 6 months, if they get back in the gym, they can get ripped quick.
Yeah, here you go, Rob.
Do you know what I mean? So,
do you know what?
Yeah.
We really have covered a lot of bases today.
Yeah.
Your worries about shouting into pillow, my worries about being 40, your worries about your body image.
We've covered a lot. I've still got other bits from my... I've not really talked about the kids.
And my daughter hasn't even disturbed me yet.
No, she's all right? Do you want to check on her?
Do you think I should?
No, I don't think Raoul the Beast, actually. She's probably loving it, laying there in the mum and dad's bed, Peppa Pig on the go. If she wants something, she'll tell you. She might have fallen asleep, but that's fine. She's in a bed.
Exactly. Fine. Okay.
It's not like she's in the garden alone.
Let's bring this home with some children chat then.
Yeah, okay, so my youngest said to me, Daddy, you've got teeth like a donkey.
At last, she's noticed. Here we... And did you
interesting,
say...
Interesting, isn't
and it? Do you know what, mate? There's a 50% chance you will have when you're growing up.
Exactly.
When did you realise you had big teeth?
When kids used to call me tombstone teeth at school.
Right. So do you think your daughters have escaped it?
Yeah, so my eldest has got a front two teeth through and they're normal size. Because I had these teeth at six.
Blimey.
And it was insane.
That is something else.
But I don't know about the youngest because she's still got her baby teeth. So she may be the same. But yeah, it was weird though because obviously, you know, she's innocently gone, your teeth look a bit like the donkey teeth from Shrek.
Yeah,
Because it is like a... She's not going,
look at this fucking... Let's absolutely do him over it.
Yeah, I'm going to hammer him, you know. It was quite funny, quite sweet, actually. I was like, yeah, I do a bit. Yeah. And then I was reading that my seven-year-old's book, right? It was my five-year-old's book, right?
Yeah.
Which I think is absolutely unacceptable. One of the words in it, right? It was a book about a magician, conjurer. That's too hard for a five-year-old.
Oh, what? She's got a read it herself.
Yeah.
Oh, that's tough, isn't it?
I couldn't do it.
We've started on book. They've just moved from ditties to books this week.
What's a ditty?
I don't know. It's what they. It's like.
That's what they say.
It's what they say. They say we're doing ditties at the moment. They're like,
what the fuck's a ditty?
It's like little poems on page. You know, when you're learning to read.
Do you know what's weird? I didn't realise how many different like schools. I thought it was all the same, but every school is different all over the country. And like up in the northeast, they have their half term about 3 weeks after.
I know.
It's weird. It's like, what's going on here? Like half term.
But it is good because it kind of means it kind of staggers it. I suppose. I wish London just staggered all of them so that the traffic. Such a boring thing to say.
You've got to move out of London, mate. That's the future.
Oh, shut up, country boy.
Get yourself down to David Lloyd, mate. Get a stretch of your legs. I would tell you what. I can talk to you about. I'll talk to you about record. I'll talk to you about book fair now, and I'll talk to you about Recorder Club on Friday.
We've got secondhand book thing on Friday. I didn't realise this. We've got to take in secondhand books for charity.
Yeah, we've got to do that as well because it's World Book Day around this time. I don't know when this goes out, about this week or next week or last week was World Book Day. So you take in old books. We're doing that. We're taking in some old books to give to the school, and then I don't know if they use them or they sell them or they donate them to others. I don't know what they do with them, but the school collects old books. We're doing
sells
that.
Them on. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the kids got to dress up, haven't they?
Yeah. What are they going as?
My eldest is going as one of the girl from the Wimpy Kid books.
Yeah. My daughter's shouting for me, Rob.
Okay,
my phone started ringing. This is an absolute disaster.
I can take this. I'll find out what the Wimpy Kid book. Anyone that reads Wimpy Kids with their kids, quite boring, isn't it? The Wimpy Kid really does detail every part of his diary to the point where I'm like, come on, mate, get a move on, will you? I've had this with Adrian Mole, now I'm doing it in stick form. So my daughter's going as Holly Hills. We've got her a stripy dress. And a little top. She looks really sad, though, Holly Hills. And my other daughter is going as the cat that sat on a gnat.
Sorry.
I was just talking. It's really hard without someone else, this.
Yeah, I bet. I just heard you say the cat sat on the mat.
No, the gnat.
The gnat.
So my daughter, eldest, is going as Holly Hills from the Wimpy Kid books, which is a stripy black and white skirt, white top, white tights and a sort of sad face with earrings.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're doing about the earrings. I think she's only picked her because she wants earrings, my daughter.
Right, yeah.
Youngest is going as a cat that sat on the gnat. So we've got Lou got a fly off the internet, Teddy, and is stapling it or sewing it to a cat onesie. with a nice little fly swatter.
Nice.
So
good,
what's your daughter going as?
So she's got these books of ballet bunnies that are about bunnies that do ballet.
Okay.
So it's a leotard and bunny outfit.
That's good. Because I think you can normally make it with what you've got in the house.
I've just realised that makes her sound like a Playboy bunny, which is hugely inappropriate. But it's like a kind of ballet leotard.
So she's wearing a leotard with a little bunny on her. Bunny
I'm starting
ears.
To worry now. Yeah, I'm starting to worry that sounds...
She's going to look like, she's gonna look like a Playboy.
That's not ideal.
It's not great, is it? No, what about your boy? He doesn't do it. He's too young.
Yeah, he's too young. He's not in on Fridays. So he's dodged
handy.
It. He's dodged it. So, yeah, my daughter's going in as a Playboy bunny, so that's good.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And then my one's going to get her ears pierced for the day.
Yeah, yeah, great.
Just
to celebrate books.
Yeah. To celebrate books and literature. this is something, the book fair. I don't know if your school's doing this, where this is I think it's a bit of a con. This is what
here
happens,
we go.
Right?
This is what I'm here for.
So I got in, kids come out of school, book fair, there's a book fair, we've got a voucher. I was like, what's going on here? I've got a £1 off voucher this book fair. And then the book fair is always situated in the hall that's right by the exit. So you have to walk past the book fair.
Like leaving a zoo?
Yeah, any sort of gift shop. You have to pass through, like
exit
IKEA.
Exit through the gift shop, yeah.
Yeah. Of course they run straight in. But we've got a voucher. We've got money off. Yeah, you've got a quid off a 10 quid book. I'm 9 quid down here. And there's a little book fair. There's always some sort of wacky fella in there selling books. And they're earning money of selling books. And the school are definitely getting a cut.
Yeah, of course.
It's the same as when you sell merchandise on tour, you have to give 20% to the venue.
Yeah, exactly.
There's
no way
that school's not getting 20%. And then they cut out that city. So and then you end up spending 20 quid on the way home.
Buying books with your
2 quid off.
Oh, mate, you've been absolutely dumb.
I know, but I don't mind buying kids a book, but on my terms. Not in a panic after-school peer pressure environment of all the other kids getting books.
Exactly.
And you can't be the parent that goes, you're not allowed a book.
No, of course you can't be that parent.
You've got a perfectly good iPad at home.
I remember buying books from the book fair at primary school, and I've just realised that it was the same deal. Even in the 90s, they were doing it.
No. Well, a good con's a good con, Josh.
Exactly.
I've got a good story about Recorder Club that I'll tell on Friday.
Oh, I look forward to Recorder Club.
Lovely.
So I'm going to go and check on my daughter because she just told me she's bored. There's nothing I can do about that.
Is she listening to the show?
Oh, that's a bit unfair. She's not.
She's bored. All right, then. Well, yeah, go and
what
check on her.
What are you going to do when a child's bored and they're ill? I've got to get on with my day.
Yeah. Just say that to her.
Yeah.
Shut up and get on with
it. You're the one that's not at school.
Do you
want to be bored
if
you're at school?
A small business shout out?
Yeah.
Here we go. Right, have you got one? I've got one here.
I sell books in the hall of a school in...
Here we go. Here's an outline of Cowsy Vision Homeless Enterprise. Our son/brother Cow, always an advocate for social change and social fairness, found the homeless crisis broke his heart. He passionately believed the homeless crisis is about more than just providing four walls. It's important to encourage an individual sense of value, worthiness, security and friendship. Cow never walked past someone sleeping rough on the street. He would always sit down next to them, start a conversation, ensuring that person felt heard and seen. In his words, I want to help to make them feel part of this world. And unfortunately, this world lost Cal on the 7th of January 2021, aged 23. Cal struggled with the world's injustices and battled with his own mental health. He fought to bring his vision to life, but on that day, depression, anxiety, and his mental state took him to his darkest place. So his friends and family, inspired by his passion and heartfelt kindness, have set up this business, the Cowsy Tribe, where you can buy clothes and t-shirts and stuff like that that are all got designs on from Cow's sketchbooks. So Cow had a sketchbook, and 50% of all profits will go to the homeless charities that they work with. They do these Cowsy care kits full of hygiene products, deodorant, toothpaste, toothbrushes, socks, underwear, lip salve, and stuff like that that they can give out to people that are currently homeless. So let me give you the website. If you want to buy some of this merch, you can. So the Instagram is Cowsy, CALZY.vision, VISION. And that's where you can buy these really cool t-shirts, all designed by a cow, who's unfortunately not with us anymore. But proceeds will go to homeless charities. That's a good one, isn't it, Josh?
That is a good one. I wouldn't want to follow that one. I wouldn't want to follow that one with a kind of just, I've set up a coffee shop. So I'm going to go with, hi both, please could you give my new business a shout out? I've recently started Inclusive E-Learning. I design affordable digital learning experiences with a focus on accessibility and inclusivity. I aim to reach 100% of learners, including those with disabilities or who are neurodiverse. My website is www.inclusive. www.inclusive-elearning.co.uk. Love the podcast. Can't wait for Tuesday and Friday for new episodes. Thank you, Joe Cottingham.
I think you need to do some fucking e-learning. What was that? You didn't know what hyphen was.
I was going to say dash, and I was like, it's not called a dash, is it, in this modern world?
You got it, though. You rescued it.
Exactly.
Great fun today, Josh.
Loved it.
Don't panic about being 40. You'll be all right. Just get them lovely pair of suede hush puppies in and you'll feel like a new man.
I didn't use the word hush puppies. Right. See you on Friday to discuss Recorder Club.
Bye.
I'm Ivo Graham.
And I'm Alex Keeley.
We're stand-up comedians who love music.
And we'd like to tell you about our new podcast, Gig Pigs.
Alex and I have been watching live music together for years, so we've decided to compromise this hobby, and potentially our friendship, by turning it into a project.
Every episode, we'll be going to a gig, and then discussing it afterwards with the friends who came along to third wheel us.
Asking questions like, did you enjoy the gig? Did you check the setlist in advance? Did you appreciate the artist's mid-song banter?
Did this gig profoundly change your relationship with live music?
Was the cloakroom queue prohibitively long?
We've been to Franz Ferdinand with Rose Matafeo and Emma City, Kendrick Lamar with Phil Wang, and The Cure with Cellier AB.
And next month, we're going with Ed Gamble to watch Napalm Death.
Episodes are out from this Thursday and every Thursday thereafter until attending live music once a week with a different guest becomes logistically impossible.
We have no idea how soon that could be, so join us now by going to your preferred podcast platform and searching Gig Pigs.
If you are not in the queue and you are waiting, then step to the side.
He got in touch. He said, yeah, sorry, mate, you didn't seem like yourself the other day. You've only met me three times.
The self-service checkout. I don't care what you're called. I'm not getting tricked into working here.
People at festivals in those stupid jester hats.
I glanced at a tampon.
£2.69 for a bottle of water.
Why is your Wi-Fi
social
code 10 characters long?
Starts guiding you.
I don't care if you're watching.
Boot
cut jeans.
What's upset you now?
I'm Sean Walsh.
And I'm Paul McCaffrey. We are the hosts of What's Upset You Now?
The UK's angriest podcast.
And we are back for Series 5.
Booyah!
We all love a good moan, don't we? And Sean and I, well, Sean mostly, are two of the best in the absolute business. And every Tuesday and Thursday, we moan about all those little things that really get our goat. We also have guests. What guests have we had, Sean?
We have had Romesh Ranganathan, Rob Beckett, Mark Lamar, Joe Brand, Catherine Ryan, Tom Allen.
15-minute episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. Brand new What's Upset You Now? Series 5, out now.
Oh, for God's sake.